It is Friday, the 3rd of February, and time for the premiere edition of the 2017 legislative session of Capitol Call, brought to you by Phillips 66, and I am joined by our legislative team. Senior member, we'll start it off with Earl Sears. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie, and thank you. And you are correct. It's been a while since we've had our last radio show, which was right at the end of May, 1st of June.
Cast of characters has changed a little bit.
Absolutely, and we do have a challenge ahead of us, but before I start with that and give my quick update, we are absolutely delighted, Travis and I, are to be joined by our newest member of our delegation, which is Senator Julie Daniels, who replaced the Honorable Senator Ford. And I want all of the constituents in District 29 to know that Julie has absolutely hit the ground running. She's already a force at the state capitol. She is known in the Senate already in regards to someone that will get the job done, a go-to person. I'm very proud of her, which I always have been proud of her. We've worked on numerous committees, issues, bond proposals.
Were you two on the city council together?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll never forget the night Julie called and said, "What do you think about me running for city council?" And it went from there. But anyway, so Senator Daniels, welcome to our delegation.
Thank
and
you
will have an awesome journey. And by all means, I see Travis on a regular basis, but all three of us are ready for this challenge. Now let's go to the challenge.
Okay.
We have about, well, quite frankly, the number is $879 million. I think it'll be a little bit more once we get the certification the third week of February. But, I mean, who's going to count those dollars? The point is, we've got another hole. The Senate, the House, we've already started meeting in regards to issues, policies, programs, options in regards to addressing this hole once again. I think that already a very good plan is being put in place. And when I say plan, at least approach, I'm very, very pleased and encouraged in regards to the talk I'm here at the Capitol. But the good news is you're going to hear over the next 4 months from us, and we'll report every Friday. You're going to hear a lot of gloom and doom in the paper and on radio and on TV. But at the end of the day, we understand our challenge. We understand our task. And by the Constitution of this great state, we will have a balanced budget. Government will continue to move forward for all of our constituents of the 3.8 million people that live in this great state. In other words, we will do our job. Not everybody will be happy with us, Charlie. We're well aware of that. But the point of it is we will complete that task, because that's one great thing, again, about this great state. We have a constitution that says we will live within our means and we will have a balanced budget, and we will. Now, the journey we take to get there, some people will be happy, some people will be lukewarm, and some people will be frustrated, but we will carry out our task, and we will make sure that this great state keeps moving forward.
Why do I think that out of 101 members of the House, there probably be about 101 different paths of getting to where you'd like to get?
I can assure you of that. I can assure you. So anyway, but we're delighted to be back.
Okay, well, thank
Senator,
you very
you
much.
Senator, you want to go
next? Well, sure. So Representative Sears has to bring you the dark news.
Yes,
you about have the money.
You have,
well,
a bright picture then?
It's also a very optimistic time in Oklahoma. I have been privileged to be in many orientation sessions over the past month, and some beginnings of budget presentations about the committees that I'm on. But I heard something from the Secretary of Commerce, Debbie Snodgrass, this week, spoke to the Rural Caucus. And I'm a member of the Rural Caucus because outside of Bartlesville, there are many wonderful small communities in District 29. So here's just some data she shared with us. From the first quarter of 06 to the third quarter of 2016, our earned personal income in Oklahoma was above the national average through that time.
Okay.
And that's wages and job benefits. That's not dividends and Social Security. So for the retirees, this does not count that income. But that's encouraging. It was only in November, December of 2016 that our unemployment rate rose above the national average. We've been below the national average throughout the recession, throughout all the bad times, including the bad times that we're in Oklahoma right now. And in fact, it says that we are the sixth highest in the nation in personal income growth over this period. And so that means that we're growing annually from 11 through 16 at 3.5% when nationally income was only growing 3.1%. So there are some very good things to be said about what's going on in Oklahoma, and I think that bodes well for the issue of state revenue in the future as the economy improves. I went to a function put on by the Oklahoma Oil and Gas Association this week, and I could not find a pessimistic person in the energy industry. What's beginning to take place in Washington is going to have a direct effect on revenues in state government in Oklahoma as the economy grows. So there are good things to know about what's going on here, and that even though we're in a shortfall, some 33 other states are also in a budget shortfall, and several of those states have consistently raised taxes and they are still in a shortfall. So I tend to look at brighter days ahead, and with Representative Sears watching all the pennies, I'm sure that we'll get there even faster. Okay. And it's a pleasure to serve with these gentlemen, and I'm so fortunate to have Representative Sears as my representative because I know a lot more about the budget and the numbers than many of my 12 fellow freshman colleagues, because I have Earl on the other end of the line and he shares so much good information with me.
Well, thank you very much. We'll look forward to more. Mr. Dunlap, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. Thank you for having us.
I
come to you from the heights. I somehow got the highest chair.
Well,
and there's no longer another tall member of the delegation. So I
have resumed that.
I have no comment.
We'll try to shuffle the chairs so that during the course of the season it comes out even.
Oh, okay. Maybe that'll help a lot. But I'm very glad to be here. Very excited, and actually just a little bit excited from what we just heard. I am excited about what the economy will be doing in the near future. I just am very, very optimistic about what's ahead in Oklahoma. One of the things that I appreciate about Oklahoma is that in times when our economy is down, we have opportunity to really establish priorities and really evaluate when there's not excess money to go around, where can we most effectively trim or consider what not should not be in our state government. Mm-hmm. And one of those things that is just constantly a problem in Oklahoma is the weight on our social services system. And so one of the things that I think in Oklahoma we can keep addressing, last year I was able to address the issue of expungements and whether or not it was easy to get a job after you have had some sort of a record. And so thankfully that became effective on November 1st, which was to expand the expungement statute to allow those the waiting period to be shorter to get your record cleared so that you can be more versatile and more be able to offer more in the job market. And so things like that will continue to be a focus of mine. And in fact, some of the things that are coming up, I think, are really exciting in terms of the prevention of the need for social services. And so if we continue to make momentum go in that direction, we can come out of this downturn in an incredibly strong position regionally, but not only regionally, an incredibly strong position nationally as the economy gets going for sure.
I received an email from the sponsor of our program, from Phillip 66. They talk about the issues for the legislature. Another tough year with an estimated budget hole of around $860 million. Mr. Sears may have a different number. Trailing very close second, increasing teacher pay. Governor Fallon expected to again call for a hike in the cigarette tax, and not being an election year, passage more likely. Legislators also expected to consider the merits of existing tax credits and tax exemptions. Would you say that's a fair summary of what you see as the issues?
Well, I like to think that my colleagues and I don't change our votes based on whether it's an election year or not. I know I don't, but that is the perception out there. I don't see that on the inside. I work with honorable people who sincerely want to do the right thing for Oklahoma. This year, we have a very large number of new representatives and new senators, and so I'm not sure that anybody can quite count the votes accurately yet. It's very hard to count the votes of new members. You're not basing it on any sort of record that they've established. I know there are insiders who are hopeful about a cigarette tax. I still plan to vote against a cigarette tax. I don't think that's a direction to go forward. But that is, it sounds like the governor is going to propose that as a means to get a little bit of money. And as a disincentive for that practice. So that may be in the near future. That requires 76 votes in our chamber. It requires 30 some odd votes in the Senate. So it's a big challenge for those who want to go for that.
Okay. Well, Next up, yeah, Searle.
Yeah, let me just, I want to add a couple things in regards to my opening remarks, in regards to the whole and how we will approach it. But that was the point of the I want to make clear that, you know, we will get through this. And then Julie made her comments in regards to the bright pictures. I'd like to just add a couple of things to that. A year ago at this time, oil was about $24, $25 a barrel. Today, I wished I'd have looked as I come in. In fact, on your computer, Julie, if you look up what's barrel oil going for right now, but it's probably around $50. So all the indicators in Oklahoma are looking good in regards to, there's no question our income, our personal income is up in Oklahoma. There's a lot of good things and a lot of indicators in Oklahoma that are bright. So there's no question that's the good news. But again, it's the journey, the approach. Everybody's looking. So when you,
well, I just pulled up the Coffeyville Resources website from because I've got a link on our webpage, and February 22nd close for I just use West Texas Intermediate right at $50 a barrel.
There you go. That's
Oklahoma Sweet $50 a barrel.
I knew I was close to the 50. Yeah. So that's huge. But still, the thing about it is there's a lot of things in place and indicators of when the oil industry starts coming back, then a lot of those jobs come back. Never forget, in regards to this, you can talk about our income tax reductions, and I get that, but what pays the bills in this great state is sales tax and personal income tax to the tune of about $4 billion is what we collect. And again, about half of that is money right off the top that funds great programs, education, transportation. So really, we always have about 1.8, 1.9, right at $2 billion that goes into the GR to help us run the government. But those are, but when you lay off 12 to 13, 14,000 people in the energy sector, that is a huge hit to the state budget. So the quicker we can get that oil industry back running and pumping, whatever terminology you want to use, just the better all of us will be. And again, with Julie's comments and her data that she has, all those indicators are looking good. Now, do we need to continue to constantly look at in Oklahoma other indicators, other industries that we want to try to drive? By all means. You know, we really don't talk enough about it, but aviation, and I say aviation, let's Boeing, in the presence of air, their manufacturing and some of the services and the plants that they have here in Oklahoma, it's about right at $14 billion to our economy. It's huge in regards to the what is going on in regards to the airline industry and the airlines. Again, I don't mean literally flying in and out in American Airlines down at Tulsa. So that is huge. And so, and Boeing continues to keep looking at bringing more to Oklahoma. We don't see much of it here in Bartlesville, but in the Oklahoma City, Tinker Air Force Base, in that area, it is absolutely huge. So we just need to continue to grow in regards to those areas. A couple of quick things Travis mentioned about tax. I was in the paper, and I'll state it here on this radio station. I will be open-minded to tax increases that the governor, that anybody wants to bring, but what I am adamant about is in regards to, I do not want to raise tax just to put in the GR. If we do raise a tax, I want that tax tied to that industry. If I will not introduce a gasoline bill, but if we did introduce a gasoline tax, I want the gasoline funds collected to go to transportation. I don't want it to go for a teacher pay raise. It's not ugly, not being mean. It's just if we're going to take it from gasoline, it needs to go to transportation. Now, when you do that, that frees up money in transportation that can go to the GR. If we do pass a tobacco tax, it needs to go to the health care. There's no question we have issues in Department of Human Services. We have it in the health care authority. We have it in mental health. And we have it in the health department. Those funds need to be tied to that particular area. So if we do that and we have a clear path, and then I will seriously consider and look at and hear the conversation. But just to pass a tax to put in the GR, I agree with Julie 100%. We have other states that have done that, and they still have shortfalls. I want those taxes, if we even do raise them, that is targeted and tied to something and that it has some kind of a trigger on it, that it goes away. So anyway, it's going to be interesting.
Okay. Just one quick question, and then if you choose to comment on it or not, it was announced yesterday that Amazon.com will start collecting sales taxes in the state of Oklahoma. There's some difference of opinion, yet we're checking as far as cities, particularly whether they do or don't take a use tax. And I realize one online retailer is not going to make or break the state, but it could be the start of a trend.
In all that you said, Charlie, the good news is it has begun. It started. That's the main thing.
As of March 1st.
There's a lot of things that's going to have to fall in place. But the point of it is at least that whole process is in place. Amazon is now saying they will collect taxes. It automatically will be a bump to our economy of bringing in additional taxes. And the good news is in the future it will continue to grow.
I'll just jump in really quickly. These are not new taxes. These are taxes that are on the books already. And when you have your financial advisor prepare your taxes this year, please ensure that he complies with the law in paying what the sales tax on whatever purchases you made online. So that's not a new tax. Those are taxes that are currently on the books that have not been remitted in full the past 10, 15 years.
Yeah. So. Senator Daniels. Anything you want to have?
Well, and adding to that conversation, in a downturn in our economy with Oklahomans struggling, it will feel like a tax increase to them, those who shop online and start paying that tax to Amazon. However, what I would like to see is everybody have skin in the game. You eliminate as many exemptions as possible, no matter how worthy they sounded when they were passed, and then you lower the rate so that everybody pays, and some who have not paid before will be an increase to them because they haven't been paying. But everybody will be paying less because I believe the lower the rate, the more you generate business and revenue to the state, you know, and to businesses. And then Representative Dunlap talked about the social services sector, and I serve on the subcommittee mm-hmm. for appropriations for the Department of Human Services, so yes. I'm becoming familiar with those agencies. And many of the conversations that we have during the coffee breaks come down to, with an improving economy, many people accessing social services now may not need them. How much stress is there in a family when there's financial stress? So yes, you need those services, but right now the demand for them are from all sectors and from folks who may not need those services if generally the economy just improves. A steady job, a steady paycheck does a lot to make other problems less severe. And that may sound a bit off the cuff or simplistic, but I do believe it's really true that everything will improve in Oklahoma as the economy improves, and the diversification part is very important. It's not just about oil and gas.
Sound like you're repeating Ronald Reagan. A job is the best social program there is.
We need to wrap it up, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, sir.
Then let me do it this way, to simply say, I speak for the three of us. If session begins, you have a question, a concern, you have an issue, by all means, do not hesitate to contact us. We have absolutely no problem with that. May not agree with each and every phone call or each issue in your position, but the point of it is you have total access to us. So please give us a call on your thoughts. And the final thing is to say thank you to Phillips 66 for sponsoring our radio show. We'll see you next Friday.
All right. And Brew and Buzz on the way in just a bit on K1. And again, our program brought to you by Phillips 66.
It's 2:37 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped by her local Phillips 66 station where she could take a rest and get her best friend Muffy a bowl of water. And while Jim came to fuel up his car, he realized he needed some fuel himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, we'll be here, fueling the neighborhood with performance gas and just about everything else. Phillips 66, proud to be here.
2.2 million American Indians and Alaska Natives are important members of our country's diverse culture. A world where today's American Indian and Alaska Native children grow up to enjoy the highest levels of physical, emotional, and spiritual life is one you can help create. Join us at the Indian Health Service to provide care today that will change their tomorrows. Learn more about scholarships, loan repayment, and health careers at ihs.gov/careerops.